Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, your boy, Johnny G, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. John Gabrus. Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. He's currently puking in the living room, so he'll be in here later. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studio for the first time is my birthday bud, longtime comedy writer, friend, other dude who's always on G-Chat with me. Guys, give a little High and Mighty love to David Young. I said it like it's a live show, like you got to come
running. This whole thing is like a morning radio, like so much more. Like a morning radio show that
I never did it that long or that much. And also, I also have lost my fucking mind. It's been a long week, pilot season. I'm going to Vegas tomorrow.
It's going to be fantastic.
And that's why, literally, we were just telling my wife this story, but I might as well tell the listeners. David and I were supposed to talk craps on the podcast, and it has I have not been good at booking people, and or I never have been. I realized I was going to Vegas this weekend for a rugby tournament, and I was going to play some craps. And I said, David, you got to tell me your strategy. And he said, I'll only tell you on the podcast. And we found one free day when he was done with work and before I had to leave for Vegas.
And it's late, too. It's 9 o'clock at night.
It's like 9 p.m. Yeah, yeah. at night. Yeah, I never record this late because this is where I'm stoned watching movies with my wife. I'm halfway through the Miami Vice Blu-ray, just so you know.
The
Michael Mann movie. Yeah, I fucking love that movie.
Well, it's going to be worth it when I tell you my strategy. I only have like two strategies. I was actually worried when you were telling your wife because you were like, he's going to tell me all the strategy.
I come home a loser. She's like, I fucking hate David now.
It's not that good, but it's good enough.
All right, hold on to that thought for a second. Let's get into, as always, shitheads, you know, if you... rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments. I will read it on air. And David would know that had he ever listened to High and Mighty. You live in LA now. You commute now. Maybe throw it
on. I'm going to download a few. I should have done it today. I usually do that. Streeters podcast, when it was on, had never listened to a single episode until I was going there to record mine.
That's the move.
And I should have done it here, and I did not.
Yeah, too bad you have a five-minute drive from your office to my apartment, or else you could have jammed in an episode.
I'm going to not lie to you. I actually drove home to Studio City and then back.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why? Just to...
Because my parents were here.
We don't have to talk about this on the podcast. Leave this all in. I mean, I don't do any editing either. Unless you say the N-word, and then I'll leave it in. I'll put it in at the end. Stay tuned. I'll edit it out, but then put it in again. It's like a big...
auto-tune it as well. I want to hear some of the comments.
All right, yeah, let's do this.
How many do you read?
20, 25? No, I'm kidding. Just a couple. You already want to get out of here. You haven't even listened to the fucking podcast. This is from Decanian, High and Mighty? More like Guy and Whitey.
Jeb Gerbus sets aside an hour every week to blast your ear holes with East Coast bravado and finds a way to not stop talking but say absolutely nothing. This is the only podcast you can find where the host's audio is consistently fine and you can never hear the guests, making it a real trip to listen to. If you consider walking down the street, a trip, 5 stars, love this garbage.
So they compliment, they give you the 5 stars.
Yeah, they don't have to, this pattern that's developed because I read them, other people know what people are saying. So people have all started adding 5 stars, never miss an episode as like a tag at the end.
Got it.
I feel like is like a holdover from some other Earwolf listener threat. I don't know.
Have you ever met these fans? Have you done a live episode of this?
I did a live episode in Austin, and it was people were mostly there for Jake and Amir. I was like, who here is listening to High and Mighty? And no one in the crowd cheered. I'm like, you're sitting through a podcast that you've never even heard before? Just so they could have a seat for Jake and Amir.
Who did you interview?
Gil Ozeri.
Got it.
We talked South by South. I'm going to be doing a live show at South by Southwest. Thanks for the plug.
Of course. That's why I was doing it. Obviously,
like,
I know
I
that.
I was wondering why you're going, I tell them, tell them. I'm going to be in South by Southwest March 11th at the North Door at 5 p.m. I'm paired with Twinnovation, but I think you can try to get tickets for all the shows and just hang out, post up, drink beers, and watch a bunch of HeadGum shows.
Who are you interviewing there?
I'm not positive yet. That'll be a secret surprise guest, which means I have to book someone ASAP. Wow. Okay, this is from Ask Johnny. The title is The Best Twins. Okay, I have a feeling I know where this is going. Wow, this podcast has a great set of characters, beginning with Mike Carnell taking the lead and also one half of the Rosenberg twins. The idea behind this podcast is one of the, oh wait, I clicked on the wrong podcast. I don't even know how the guy from Guy Code has his own show. He mails it in on Guy Code, so I guess it kind of makes sense why this podcast is the way it is. Great show, I guess.
He doesn't understand how podcasts work. Because anyone could have a podcast.
Right.
And he's saying, I don't know how you have one.
Yeah, I guess he should say, I don't know why I listen to it.
Yes.
Like, it's his fault. Like, I love, these reviews are really funny because it's like, they
seem like they're being forced to listen.
Yeah.
Those are all long. That one at the bottom? Jesus Christ.
All right, let's see how this one, this is the last one right here we'll do. I don't know if I read this one, but it's from Brian is Tired, and the title is John and Gabe Gabris Podcast with Jim Grabass. Juan would change the cover image of this podcast to a picture of himself firing diarrhea out like a water cannon as he jerks off to himself in the mirror with one hand and slurps down wings with the other while a guest sits in stunned silence. I can only foresee Johan getting more self-indulgent as the show goes on until he's pre-recording himself and then talking over it for an hour and a half. There are rumors Jean tried this once, but just like his normal guests, at 30 minutes in, he thought about killing himself just so he didn't have to hear that fat guinea anymore. In all seriousness, John is hilarious and his open nature and sincerity are why... Oh, blah, blah, blah.
You got to read that.
Yeah,
his
sincerity is why we love him. 5 out of 5 stars. P.S. Did anyone call you and your brothers the Gay Bros family growing up? Oh, shit. This guy must know me from high school. All righty then. Enough reviews.
So I like the recurring bit you got in the podcast.
Yeah, they have recurring bits themselves. They mispronounce my name. So.
Meta, and I just love it. Yeah. How long does this podcast usually go?
2.5 hours. I hope you have a lot of ideas about
it. Minute shorter, and yeah. Preferably an hour longer.
If you have the time. If your kids will wait up till 1 a.m. to see you. as always, shitheads, rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments, and you yourself could hear your review read on air by me, who could barely read.
It was awesome. The whole experience.
Hey, thanks, David. Does this bruise look like I do heroin? I got blood drawn, and it's been like, it hasn't healed in like 5 days.
Uh-oh. Why do you get blood drawn there?
Because she couldn't find a vein because of how thick my body is.
I got to say, when you were leaning on the desk...
You saw my tits slipped out.
It looked like you had a lot of tricep muscle.
I have some tricep muscle.
Right there. I noticed that. I zeroed in on
you. Hear that, listeners?
Yeah, shitheads.
You can try to get by, but you're gonna get trapped. I feel so currently out of shape for. I don't know when
you
this.
Don't
episode...
look it.
I'm wearing cut-off sweatshirt pajamas, no socks, and a fucking ill-fitting t-shirt. I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, but for the listeners, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow to play in a rugby tournament, and I was supposed to get in good shape for this rugby tournament, but life just got in the way.
That happens. Is this like an intense rugby?
It's like a social. There's like a social bracket, and then there on Saturday is the international play. Like it's USA sevens. It's like
I don't even know.
So sevens is the sports is the version of rugby they played in the Olympics this year, which a smaller, fast, like seven people on each side, faster version of the game.
Got it.
And it's a huge international tournament. Like the USA national team is going
to
be there.
Going
to watch that on Saturday.
Got it.
But on Friday, there's like social games, and I'm playing with some team from Salt Lake City that a friend of a friend is on. I'm like hiccuping and burping. I'm going to do great.
You should not run anywhere. I'm watching gamers.
I've been smoking so much weed and doing so little activity these last 2 weeks.
There weren't even sounds with those burps. Your face just looked like you were in pain.
It's because I've been got super baked today, so I've been like jamming down LaCroix, and now I have like 1,000 milligrams of bubbles.
I got a weed question.
Uh-oh.
Can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead. No, the DEA listens to this podcast. David, new to smoking.
Yeah, I'm relatively new to smoking.
This is like when you... I feel like I'm in high school and I give my little brother a joint.
Are you over the... God, this is going to sound really lame. But like you get super baked today.
Yeah.
Are the munchies still a thing for you, or are you beyond that?
I get it sometimes, but got it. Munchies was never really an issue for me because it was just like I was in a constant state of feeding.
Got it. My question almost sounded like it was sarcastic.
Right?
But it wasn't. It was a genuine...
Yeah, it sounded like a roast. And for you, do you eat sometimes, you fucking tub of shit? So how do I know that you like craps? How has this come up between the two of us?
Because at College Humor, we talked about Atlantic City,
right.
I feel like.
Because we were like the only people I knew that had gone to Atlantic City.
Yes.
Like, I grew up with my family going to Atlantic City. Like once a month, my mom and dad and grandpa went to Atlantic City for like a trip overnight.
Really?
Yeah, my entire life.
So they had like the points and they were...
Yeah, they would go to the Taj. We got to stay at the Taj.
Yeah.
I think I said this on a different podcast, but I didn't know the Taj Mahal was a...
Indian? Is that what it is?
I think it's in India. It's not in Russia, right?
I was going to say Africa is... Oh, fuck. We got to...
Can't delete any of this.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Kicked over a LaCroix. Things are escalating. I'm just wiping it onto the floor. Oh, there's paper towels right here.
You thought Taj Mahal was...
I didn't know that it was... I thought it was... Like, then I later found out that there's a real Taj Mahal.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not just
based
Trump's,
on...
casino in Atlantic City.
And I wanted to go to Taj Mahal because it was in Rounders.
Much later.
I had only been to Atlantic City like 3 times.
Well, I'm from like 2 hours away from it. You're from
Indiana.
Indiana, yeah.
So we had boats, casino boats, river boats in Gary.
Ooh, I did in Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Why do I know Gary, Indiana? Why is that a famous city?
Because the Jacksons are from there, and it's had the highest murder rate in the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the shittiest.
You sound like Trump. Gary, Indiana has the highest murder rate in 30 years. Who's this Gary character? He's a bad dude.
You got to put that in your reel.
I know. I'm trying. He's talking about, I just put on orange makeup as well. I went on a gambling boat once off of Long Island. There's one that leaves out of Freeport. It like gets to international waters. Then you could start gambling.
So ours doesn't. They pass some law
where they can stay docked.
Stay
right?
docked, yeah. It just has to be on the water.
So it's just a casino, more or less.
It's a casino on a massive boat that I don't even know if it works. It's just like
it doesn't
on
have
water.
To. Yeah,
it's just on water. But wait, I feel like you and I discovered our love of craps around the same time we discovered we had the same birthday.
Yes. Well, that's
did you guys do something like for your wedding? Like it wasn't a honeymoon. There was no gambling related.
No, I couldn't even think of what it would be. Maybe we were going to Atlantic City with my family or some shit.
Did you go to the Palms once in Vegas?
No, I've been to Vegas a handful of times.
No, I know. I'm trying to. I feel like you and I essentially had a. We stumbled upon the conversation.
We stumbled upon that we both are born on January 31st.
January 31st,
along with
Paul Scheer,
Bobby Moynihan,
James
Adomian.
Oh, really?
Christine Nangle.
Really?
Justin Timberlake.
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan, Phil Collins, Jackie Robinson.
I didn't know.
Portia de Rossi.
Jesus. How do you know all those?
Because it's become like a lifelong, it's been a bit for like 10 years that me, Bobby, and Paul Scheer used to email each other and say happy birthday to another person that has our, like, happy Portia de Rossi's birthday.
Oh.
And then it escalated that we found out that Nangle and Adomian, and then you. And yeah. So, like, now that bit has just moved to Twitter where we just
Yeah. Got it. Not involved in that one, but...
me, yeah, sorry, man.
I don't know any of them,
so... me, Bobby, and Scheer all came up through UCB, and that just came up over time, so...
Weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how we stumbled upon the craps, around the same time.
Yeah. And, well, because you played poker, too. That's where it came from, right? Didn't you used to play poker?
But Amir played poker. Right. I was obsessed with...
I play poker now.
Still?
Still, yeah. I used to play poker, video poker in college and like poker games. I play poker in like a weekly house game.
I think we may have talked about that.
Yeah.
Do you, when you go to the casino, like when you go to Vegas?
I don't play poker in the casinos.
Got it.
But I've been playing steady in a house game for like 2 years now. I do feel comfortable maybe playing at like a 1-2 table.
You're like the type of guy who will play in the World Series of Poker and like win.
Yeah, because
it'll be like,
like,
he plays
no discerning strategy.
Like
Sean Clements, former guest of the podcast, and he's actually on the poker episode, has been quoted as like, I don't want to go up against, like, I have no idea what you're going to play. You have make no sense. You have no strategy. And it's like, I've been playing in that game for a year and a half. I've only won two nights. I've only brought home money two nights.
That's
it's like a $1,000 like $1,000 a month hangout cabin. I got to edit that out if my wife's going to listen.
She can probably hear it too.
I know. That's a huge part of learning how to be a gambler, though, is like what the amount, you know,
the amount that you
spend
lost,
or brought to spend, or
and
you
then
lost.
All well, it's the amount for me. I don't know if I thought that you were going to say this. The amount that I play with and lose, and then the amount I share with the person, whether it be a wife or mom.
Yeah,
how much I actually lost.
Oh.
It is
my version of how many people have you slept with? Because oh. I've been with my wife for so long that I've only slept with, a couple of people.
You fucking loser.
I'm such a loser, man. I just have been coming in the same pair of high heels forever. Oh, wait, I didn't tell you that part about that. Tiffany makes me come in a pair of Salvatore Ferragamos. It's so obnoxious. Wait, what were we just saying?
Coming.
Like, hold on, trying to remember. Coming. There. So when people are like, what's your number? And it's like, oh, you got to tell the girl. One half divided by.
Sure.
Like, that's how much money. Like, Tiffany doesn't even know how much money I'm bringing to the casino.
Of course. And I used to do this. I used to.
We have a joint checking account. I mean, she can find out.
See.
But I have got some real fun scams you're about to hear.
I cannot wait to hear these.
Yeah.
It was also like. Flynn, my wife's name is Flynn.
Yeah.
I've become more honest with her, but I, like, with my mom, like, I would, like, cut it in half, and then I'd try to, like, predict what number she was going to get mad at if I said I lost that amount of money. It was so fucking pathetic.
And you have not lived in your mother's house in 15 years.
In many, many years. I actually have some bad gambling stories, which we can get into.
Yeah.
Sports gambling.
You had some issues?
Yeah, I almost, I had a sell in college. I got down a pretty deep, dark rabbit hole where I was convinced the only way to get out of the debt was to bet more on games to get out of the debt. You know, I'm eventually going to win was my theory.
Right.
Never
That's
won.
Like that blackjack bet strategy where if you just keep doubling your bet, you'll eventually win all
exactly.
your money back. Yeah.
And I only kept losing. And I was losing at that point money that I didn't have. Because
you were betting money you didn't have.
I was betting money.
I owe this guy $1,000. I'll bet $1,000 on this next game.
Exactly.
And then if I win, I'm out.
Exactly.
But instead you lose, now you owe a guy $2,000.
Yes. Yeah. So, and he had this bet. I went to Syracuse, and this bookie had this bet called the Lightning. Do you know anything about sports gambling?
Yeah.
So he had this bet called the Lightning, which it was like a local bet that he devised, but it was... You could win a lot of money or lose a lot of money. The idea was if you did a $20 Lightning and the spread was 7, let's say, if the team that you bet on covered the spread by, if they won by 14 points, so they went 7 points above the spread, you'd get 7 times 20.
Okay.
But if they lost, you'd have to owe him 20 times
whatever they
lost the spread by. So they were huge swings, and I was basically down between $3,000 and $4,000,
which is an insane amount of money in college.
It's
an insane amount of money.
Like, college was like shocking.
Right.
So I sold my guitar. I've never owned a guitar since then. I had to sell my guitar. I sold a lot of my clothing. I had a nice leather jacket I sold, and I still was short.
Thank God you got rid of that leather jacket guitar. I'm just, you have no, I like you so much better as a guy who got rid of a leather jacket guitar early on.
You have no idea how good I looked in that leather jacket.
I'm sure it went great with the guitar.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Syracuse Student Center would love that. We're talking about gambling.
I had to sell my choker necklace.
Both my pinky rings.
So I was still down a lot of money, and I had to call my mom, and she said she'll bail me out. One, we can't tell my dad, and then two, if this ever happens again, she's pulling me out of school. So it was like a huge wake-up call. I was betting on Ivy League basketball. Like, I was in my room with these two kids, and we were just like, fuck, what do we do? Who's playing? Oh, Harvard, Yale. Let's bet on Harvard. It was fucking awful.
And this was pre-Bo Dog, right?
This was around the Bodog era.
But you were still using bookie.
I was still using the real bookie because he had the lightning bet. And that was like, at that point, it was the only way to save the money that I had lost. But it just all backfired. It was fucking awful. We were like, this is turning into like a therapy session.
GA here.
Yeah, exactly. We were like waiting for like the West Coast basketball games and then desperately betting on the over of, oh, it's fucking awful.
The reason I deleted my sports betting account is because I would like wake up like after being like so fucked up like one night and be like, I guess I bet on tennis in the middle of the night.
Totally. Yeah, it's fucking like, awful.
I won $110 betting on women's tennis where the match was played at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time in the morning.
I still get calls. Last week I got two calls from Vegas bookies because I'm on some like websites. My phone number is still on websites.
Oh my
And
God.
They'll call me like, hey, I gotta bet you cannot miss. You like pussy? If you take this bet, you're gonna get a lot of pussy, trust me. And they're so aggressive and they're so mean. And I'm like, I'm not betting anymore. He's like, why? You scared? You scared? Like, it's awful. And I get, last week I got two calls. 2 weeks ago, I got another call. Like,
I don't do sports betting anymore. Only when I am in Vegas. Like, I'll bet on a sport that's being played that weekend, so I can have like some more action or something to watch when I'm losing money at the table. And I'll bet, like this time, I'll pick somebody to win the NCAA championship.
Yeah, I'm going that weekend. The first weekend, I'm going to Vegas.
Oh, that's the best time to go. I've never been during that.
Neither have I, and I'm so excited.
Oh, are you going with friends?
My brother-in-law's bachelor party.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
That's so great.
It's going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm betting on Q's to win it all. It's funny you brought that
really?
Up.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think they have it.
Are they going
to? All my friends are Q's fans, and so, because they're all from the Syracuse area, but none of them went to Syracuse.
Got it. Oswego?
They were like literally from like Central Square and Corcoran, like right
really?
There. Yeah. All my friends grew up like three of my closest friends.
But you're from Long Island.
Yeah. I met them all in college. Like Justin Tyler, my writing partner, is from Syracuse.
Oh.
My best friend from college is from
Justin, by the way.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's a good guy.
Former guest of the podcast, Dead Dads episode. Check it out. I'm saying this mostly for David to learn what the other topics are.
Yeah, I can't wait
to
listen to that episode.
That one's 9 hours. And it takes place at a funeral home. And it's written.
The best ones.
Those are the best podcasts. Long written ones.
Funeral homes.
That's the only. And I'll bet I'll put like $100 on the Giants to win the Super Bowl every year. Obviously.
But that's not. You can't see the result of that while you're in Vegas.
Right. But I know I can hold on to that ticket.
Got it.
And I think it's just fun to have that Giants Super Bowl bet. And I'm going around the final, like around the NCAA tournament, so I could probably lay it.
Do they have odds for the NFL now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you could bet like season long over unders, I think, and you could pick teams to win it all.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's like that. I read a famous story that a dude who was covering sports in Vegas got word that Peyton Manning, when he hurt his neck.
Yeah.
And it was possibly like right as the bookies were hearing or before the odds makers were hearing. Like he happened to be staying in a Vegas hotel. He ran downstairs and laid like a huge bet on the Colts under that season.
Really?
Because they had been like, and without Peyton, he knew they wouldn't be able to get 9 wins that season or whatever.
Wow.
So he made like a huge bet on it. I wish I knew any details. I feel like it's from, what was Bill Simmons' sports website? Deadspin. No.
No, no.
Meatspin. Meatspin.com.
What was that called?
It's so bad.
So this is a rule.
Yeah, we can't look anything up.
Bill Simmons.
I'm pretty sure
it was an ESPN.
The Ringer. No. What was the one before The Ringer?
This is embarrassing.
This is very embarrassing. Oh,
can we
my
just
God.
Say Deadspin?
Yeah, let's just say Deadspin.
It was Politico.
Yeah. It was like some website. I feel like it was called Grindr. So let's talk.
Wait, hold on. I'm not going to be able to get past that. Bill Simmons. Fuck.
And it was like a great, well-written sports website. Had some podcasts.
No, I think we don't need to describe it anymore. We both.
It's killing me that I can't think of it. This is so awful for people who can think of it.
Yeah.
And I love that part of the podcast that people Bill, are like, it's fucking called. It's not Deadspin. Forget it.
Oh, yeah. Because I had to lie to so many people that I would actively go to that website, which I never did, but I knew Bill Simmons. I knew the website.
Yeah.
And I liked what
I read. Some articles
on it.
Yeah,
but not as many as I told people.
It was one of my bookmarks. I know that, but I hardly ever went to it.
Fuck. And ESPN owned it and then shut it down.
Right.
Fuck.
Okay.
Okay, let's just move past it.
Any given Wednesday. Barstool Sports.
Barstool.
Okay.
So.
Why craps? I know why I like craps. Why do you like craps? Because I'm sure you, as a fan of gambling,
yes.
You know how to play blackjack.
I hate blackjack.
You hate blackjack.
Hate it.
I always get mad at myself after I've lost $300 playing blackjack. Never get mad at myself if I lose $300 playing craps. Because it's always more fun even to lose playing craps.
I would get mad. I only play poker and craps in the casino. I don't play anything else.
Oh, I cannot give up Let It Ride. It's like my favorite casino game. But it's only what I play after I've gotten crushed at craps or I'm so lit that I need to like sit down and do something that's super slow and simple.
And Let It Ride's definitely that. I play poker more than I play craps.
Wow.
Because craps, while I have more fun, when you lose $300 in 10 minutes...
It can happen in 10 minutes, yeah.
It's not that I didn't have fun, but I walk away feeling so depressed.
Yeah, and you feel stupid.
Yeah, you feel like you just were taken.
Yeah, you're like, how it's supposed to go. Yeah, I have a strategy. I learned it on my podcast.
The amount of times that I've had to defend the fun of craps to somebody who I've just encouraged to play,
yeah,
and then they've done everything I did and lost everything.
Yeah, and or like when someone's watching you and I'm like, cool, so now all I need is for him to roll a 4, a 6, an 8, a 10, or especially a hard 10, and then it's like 7 craps.
Oh,
it's like, nah, I got odds on everything. You just lose like a $400 roll.
And the superstitions that come up, like if the dice like jumps off the table.
Same day. And then
in that moment, I'm like, I look over because Flynn plays too. She loves it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so
Tiffany likes to roll because she likes the attention, but she doesn't.
Of course,
she doesn't want to pay attention
to
the
tell
game.
Tell that about her. You know, she loves it. No, but I'll look over to Flynn like, oh, next roll is gonna be a 7, and I say it like so cocky, and I'm usually right though.
Right.
But it's like that means nothing.
You say 7 at the crabs table? I dare you. That's such bad juju. If you say 7, people get mad at you.
I know. But that's the only thing. That's why I like it.
That's the only negative rule.
Yeah, like blackjack. You go to blackjack and it's some fucking asshole wearing a blazer and he's mad at you if you hit when you shouldn't hit or stay where you...
Or vice versa. He's fucking you up. And
exactly.
It's like,
and it's like...
Craps has like... The only thing that bothers me at craps is when someone bets the don't pass. I'm like, fuck you, dude.
At that point, though, that table's so dark because they're... It's been so bad that they're like, you know.
Yeah.
It's at that point you walk. If you're still playing at that table.
Yeah, get out of there.
Get out.
Yeah.
So wait, should I tell you my strategy?
Let's okay, talk sorry. Basic craps rules in case anyone listening doesn't know anything about craps. There's two portions of the craps game. Hold on, Arthur wants to come in for a little bit. It's okay. Come on in, bud. There are two portions to the craps game. There's the come out roll, and then once the point has been established.
Sorry, I'm still trying to think of Bill Simmons' website. But, okay, sorry. Keep going.
Please keep thinking of it.
I'll
know the basic rules. On the come out roll, a 2, 3, or 12 is a crap, and you lose your bet. A 7 or 11 is a win, and you get your bet. Any of those other numbers, a 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, lays the point on one of those numbers. And then you roll again and again till you either hit the point or get a 7, which is the crap. And that's – so 7 is complicated to
explain. By the way, this is incredible. You're telling this like in a very clear and concise way.
Because I am the – Jedi, the Yoda of every fucking bachelor party trip.
Got it. Yeah.
Because like now that we're all in our mid 30s, dudes like want to play the grown up games. I just happened to learn it when I was 21 at the Borgata from my Jordanian roommate's dad, who had like 15 grand cash and owned like 6 pool halls in Jersey. I was like, this guy is a fucking terrorist. He was like literally like what you would like if Homeland had been out in my junior year of college, I would have been like, we need to watch this dude. He was just randomly a Middle Eastern with a fucking wad of like 20. Oh, never mind. I'm just, let's get these refugees out of here.
When is the band coming?
I wish we could build a wall around my heart. So. That's all you really need to, and so then I give that spiel because then that gives you the pass line. Yeah. Once you learn the pass line, that's how you get to hang out at the table, and then from there is you got to just be quiet and observe like an entry level mafia guy.
Exactly.
Just bet your pass lines and learn. People love to explain, so you're like, oh hey, what does a hard four do? Yeah. And it's like, oh, you got to roll two twos.
Never do the hard way. I fucking hate those people.
Everyone has their own strategy,
obviously.
Strategy,
and they think their strategy is the best. It really brings out the best and worst in people.
Gambling? Well, I feel like Vegas and Atlantic City are the best and worst people.
Yes.
that go there.
I did Dan and Kelly's podcast.
Yeah.
And where you defend... Have you done it?
I defended the Olympics.
And I defended Vegas.
Ah.
So it was, that was a huge.
I did an episode of this podcast with Pat Walsh about Vegas.
Sorry, give me one.
Yeah. Dealing with family stuff.
Yeah. Okay, I'm good. but that was what I said. I actually said, like, Vegas has, like, the best of things and the worst of things, and you can choose.
Yeah.
To.
Don't go to clubs.
Don't go to clubs. Don't, like, focus on the sad old people. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of a place you can embrace being selfish and just deal with the shit that you want
to
do.
And if you're lucky enough to afford a certain amount of betting, like, go to the $25 table.
That's funny. That makes my hands sweat.
I know.
Have you done a craps? Have you played craps at like a $25 minimum table?
I've done it once or twice, only out of like. Just like desperation because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll only bet one time odds. So I was still putting $50 out on pretty every number, and that's fucking crazy.
That's insane.
Ladies, you gots to be cooking for your mans. And mans, you gots to be cooking for your ladies. And men, you gotta be cooking for your men. And ladies, you gotta be cooking for your ladies. Whatever gender you may be, or whatever gender your partner may be, whether you have a partner or you are solo or you're raising a family, whatever it is, you gotta cook for each other. Cook for friends. Cook for strangers. It's a great hobby to have learned in my older age is how to cook. I feel like a hero when I make myself something. And the easiest way, the shortcut to feeling like a hero is 100% Blue Apron. It literally gives you everything you need and then you sort of paint by numbers a dish together. And you look like, I made something with miso paste in a cabbage slaw that my wife was like, this is amazing. We never cook with miso paste. I was like, I don't even know what it is, but it came in the Blue Apron box, so I used it. Burgers, creamy shrimp. I cooked all the meals that week. My wife usually cooks a lot, and I cook once a week. This go-round with Blue Apron, I cooked 3 times in 1 week because I had 3 meals ready to go. It really was easy and convenient, and you kind of start looking forward to it. Okay, don't...
just listen to me. Go try this. I know you probably hear Blue Apron ads on every commercial. Landscapers are starting. Got to wrap this ad up. I know you hear Blue Apron ads all the time. But dudes, chicks, everybody in between and on the outside of that and above that and below that, 360 degrees of whoever you self-identify as, get yourself some Blue Apron. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/mighty. You'll love how good it feels, tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/mighty. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Three meals free with free shipping by doing Blue Apron. Do it. .com/mighty. Sorry about that, folks. Was God knows how long we were not recording for. My SD card filled up. Jesus Christ, all you people who keep messaging me about I'll be your engineer or get someone to actually this shit. Maybe you're right.
As someone who's been affected by it now, that could be... I didn't know that was an issue.
I'm really sorry. I don't know exactly where we cut off, but when I went back to listen, we hadn't started talking about craft strategy yet, however far in it's been, like 20-something minutes. So let's talk craft strategy.
Let's get right into it.
Okay, so I'll run you through the basics real quick.
Go for it.
There's two portions of play. Now, just so you know, we are repeating all of this, so we might be a little weird.
We care that much.
We care that much.
Spreading the love of crafts.
And I feel like... If this just gets two of you to play, you're going to enjoy the casino that much more. Because, and we didn't say this previously, craps is fun because everyone's on the same side at the
table. Exactly. And that's why blackjack isn't fun.
Right, because if someone could win poker. And you could still... The dealer busts is the best moment in blackjack because then everyone either wins or if they didn't already bust.
Yes.
In craps, when he rolls a yo on the come out, everyone wins. He or she rolls a yo
on the
come out.
It is a very positive... Uplifting,
yeah.
Everyone's on the
buttons,
same side.
When buttons are hit, there's a lot of high fives. There's a lot of screaming.
In today's America, it's a nice break from the...
It's the melting pot.
Exactly.
So
our voices sound like a little bit more frantic now.
Yeah, because we're both realizing it's after 10 p.m. We both have to do shit tomorrow and tonight.
I just have to respond to my wife. She's telling me how to make tuna for my kids.
Okay, perfect. I'll run you through this. You've heard it twice and now also know it. There's two portions of play when it comes to craps. There's the come out roll, and then also once the button has been established, rules are sort of the dice rules are sort of different. On the come out roll, a 2, 3, or a 12, snake eyes, 3, or boxcars. Is a automatic loss. That's,
you had to say boxcars.
I had to say boxcars, baby. That's craps. You lose. On a 7 or 11, a.k.a. a yo, you automatically win your pass line bet. And then on 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, all the other numbers, that establishes the point. And then your task at that point is to hit that number again before rolling the number 7. Because once you have a point established, 7 is a bad number. To the point where if you are going to the craps table to play, do not get caught saying the number 7 out loud.
It would so concise. That's very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very good at that.
Yeah.
There's a ton of other stuff at the table that you can get into playing, but...
Which is highly... People debate if it's a sucker's bet... Or
or if it always works. No, I have a Hardaway strategy. No, you got to do the C and E on the come out, this, that, the other thing.
It's more advanced play.
It's more advanced play. But knowing how the pass line works and learning how to bet odds, that'll give you a seat at the table or a spot at the table.
Spot at the table.
So you can learn more at that point.
Do you have a spot that you always go to?
No.
Just
because I'm like huge and claustrophobic, I don't like... to take like the last spot. Like if there's only one spot at the table, I would
rather wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to be like on one of the sides, not on the ends of this, not on the circle part, on the flat. No,
okay. Got it.
I like to roll sideways if
got
I can.
It.
If you know the pass line bets and the odds, that's like your best bet. And that's the simplest way to get yourself there, learn all the rules and you get to hang out and be cool, which is all. That's how I learned craps. I learned craps from my Jordanian roommate's father who took us to the Borgata for his 21st birthday. And he had like a he owned like a bunch of pool halls and laundromats and had like a huge stack of cash.
Do you know what he's doing now?
I have no idea what I don't even know what that roommate's doing. We haven't talked to him in forever. But that dude's dad taught us all craps, and we felt like fucking heroes learning it. Like, my buddy learned it on his 21st birthday. I was like 7 months older than him, so I was already 21.
Got it.
And we just all learned that day.
So you learned legally at a craps table.
Yes.
And I learned.
How did you learn, David?
From my dad. We had a mini craps table in our house. So he.
I have heard that before, and I'm still laughing.
And so he would teach in my small town in Indiana. He would teach.
Gary?
It's actually Munster.
Oh, even smaller than
but
Gary.
It was like 15 minutes from Gary. He would teach local family and friends. One of them was our rabbi.
Your rabbi took craps lessons from your dad in your house.
In our house. Because it was like the lesson, they're all going to Vegas and you need to learn, and my dad would give them lessons.
How does your dad become such a craps expert? Just he, long-time gambler?
He's always played. Yeah. He always played craps. I don't even know. That's a good question. I should ask him. It was just something that I just grew up, like my dad loved craps, had the table.
Your dad played craps. My dad did taekwondo.
There you go. Did he really?
Yeah. My dad was a second degree black belt in the
holy
taekwondo.
Shit.
Yeah. It was fucking ridiculous.
Wow.
My 6'5" father with a fucking mustache and a ponytail.
That's like, what's the difference between one black belt and then the...
You get your second degree black belt after like a year and change or 2 years of being a black belt. You're like learning more and getting
better,
I guess. I don't know. You know, it was like out of a dude's garage, like a Vietnam vet who like learned, or a Korean War vet who like learned Taekwondo in Korea.
That's more impressive than craps.
Yeah. Not to me.
So that's how I learned craps.
So your dad taught you craps. And what was like... What were some of the lessons you learned? My first thing I learned was how to use the pass line, and that the odds behind your pass line are the best, closest to
classic first. That my dad taught me that exact thing.
Yeah.
And my dad, super conservative with his betting
religious
structure,
beliefs.
Super conservative with his political and religious beliefs, unrelated to crabs. But I just felt like I should share.
Did you know my dad's conservative?
He would only do place bets, never come bets. Because he wouldn't want to wait an extra roll to win his money.
And come bets is where I am. I'm all about it. I'm always on the come bet.
So you were come betting until you've got a full.
And even then I throw one out.
So what that would do is then
keep the bet
wherever it is.
But I also get to take the win.
Yes.
So
when you are doing a come bet, are you doubling? Are you doing, if it's a $10 come bet, are you putting 20 on top of there?
I'm hoping to. And I
you start
gameplay.
What do you start with? You start a 10 on there.
I'll do a 10 if I got early on, because I want to get like four going. I don't want to get like early on in a weekend or in a night. I don't want to have like $200 out there in no time. I'd rather have $100 out there in no time.
Cut to tomorrow, you will instantly have $200 out there.
I will have $400 out there because I'll be winning.
What do you, man?
I'm just rooting for hard tens the whole time. That's all. I'm rooting for 55 to come up.
What, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but like, what will you bring with you? Or is this a
no-no? Yeah, let's talk about this.
What will you bring with you?
I have a strategy to bring money there.
What does that mean?
Well, it's not a strategy. It's like
you
how
don't
I
have
hide
money.
Like a month out, if I know I'm going to Vegas in a month or two, like when I have a thing set, every time I go to the grocery store, I'll take $40 cash back on top. Or every time I go to the bank to deposit some checks or take out cash to go to whatever, I'll take out an extra $20 or $40.
So your strategy is that you're stealing from your wife?
I'm stealing
and
from myself, really, because I just don't want to take it all out at once. But if you take out $40 a week for 10 weeks leading up, you know, or $80 a week or more, but over the course of 10 to 12 weeks, it doesn't feel like you're taking out. You don't ever see $800 withdrawn or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I slowly build up cash that way.
It's a fucking awful strategy. That's like how my
this
nana,
like a
my nana, who's no longer with us. Wow.
Some of this is Well, I also like to have cash because for some dispensaries don't take credit card.
Got
and
it.
Also, I play a weekly poker game, so I take it out of here, or I have some winnings.
Wow. Whoa, that's a lot.
I've been stocking up for a while.
So you want, obviously you want to win more, but do you go to Vegas? Because there are some people who go to Vegas, and I will say this, but I don't really buy into it. The whole like, hey, this is money that I'm willing to lose, and it is what it is. It was entertainment.
I truly believe if I bring $1,000 to Vegas and I leave with $200 that I like won.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm like, oh, thank God I still have $200 when I get back to LA. Because I also have said, and this is maybe me just being my obnoxious cocky self, but I say I'm not here to win $200 either. Like I'm not going to Vegas to
if you walk away with $1,200
that's versus, a different story. Yeah.
I'm saying if you came with $1,000, you left with $1,200, it'd be disappointing.
Yeah, like leaving with $1,200 is the same as leaving with $600.
Got it. You know, like, I guess that's true. I guess I feel the same way.
I feel that way, and it's obnoxious and stupid, especially when you're trying to like save up to buy a house. And
yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about that.
But what I'm gonna do is win a down payment for the house. I'm gonna get the money, double $1,000 on the craps table in the first hour. Take that $2,000 to let it ride. Win $25,000 and let it ride.
Was there recording? We talked about sports gambling and stuff.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, because I was just going to talk about that. But
we can talk about sports gambling if we repeat ourselves.
No. It's a waste.
Yeah. I'll lay some bets down on the Giants and I'll lay a bet down on Syracuse. Maybe this has already been in the podcast. I'm not even. We shouldn't even talk about it because I'm not going to listen back to anything.
Yeah, I know. You're just going to post it.
Sorry, listeners. I guess you'll get your money's worth since
right?
You pay fucking $0 for it. Just appreciate my zero effort tonight.
Fucking disaster.
I know. I just want to be watching Miami Vice instead. I'm stuck talking to you till 1 a.m. and it's all my fault.
Should I share the strategy?
We should share the strategy. So you actually went to a dice coach.
So yeah, I went to a this is great, by the way.
Yeah, it's a bottle holder.
Oh, interesting. I went to a dice coach.
That was a bachelor party gift.
It was my wife got myself and my brother-in-law a gift to go to a guy in Vegas.
Your wife also plays craps.
She loves craps. She actually, my family.
I have a crush on your wife.
And she is like, you can't pull her away from the table. If she's winning, she could convince you of anything in terms of like, oh no, don't worry. If we're down $200, like in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad. Like she is just
that's great. A
bad influence when
that's
it comes
great.
To craps.
I need someone like that in my life.
Your wife is responsible.
She's like, that. I could have had a bag for that. That's like she always says. She's like, $400? That's two, you know, that's clothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that, but, right.
Well, I got to roll
but
the
what
dice.
If I won $1,200? You could have six pieces of clothing, huh, sweetheart? Get out there. Go get yourself a fur coat, you fucking piece of ass. Slap her on the butt.
Sounds like you got a great thing going.
Yeah, my life's going right in the direction I wanted to. Oh, we're out of memory.
So anyway, my wife is addicted to gambling. So we went to this dice coach in Vegas. He picks you up and takes you to his house. Very weird. And he's got a full-size craps table in his house. So I felt almost like I was at home.
This is like my childhood basement. The guy's like, oh, boy.
Full-size craps table. And he teaches you how to roll the dice. So he is a... He's been banned.
Like a dice shark, if you will.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So he's been banned. It's like the card counters for blackjack.
Right.
He does it.
So he like puts the dice a certain way and rolls them a certain way to try to maximize his chances of rolling a number he's chosen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the strategy for that, which it's hard to, you have to see, but the goal for rolling dice is you want them to bounce as little as possible.
Right. You almost want them to slide as the number. Whatever.
Yeah. Or like bounce once off the table and then done. Like die immediately. So he teaches you that, but then he also teaches you strategy.
And what's his betting strategy?
He doesn't bet. He doesn't play for fun at all. He only plays.
I'm too wild all the time.
Me too. And I did this. I did his strategy for a while in terms of like super conservative. I stood at the one spot he told you to stand, which is closest to the opposite end. So right next to the stick dealer.
Yeah, the stick man.
Stick man.
The croupier. Yeah.
What's that?
That's what they're called.
The croupier?
Yeah.
I've never heard
C-R-O-U-P-I-E-R. I only know that because it's the name of a Clive Owen movie about robbing a casino. But the croupier is the stick man in like foreign casinos. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Hey, you come to High and Mighty for a reason, brother. Hey, we didn't talk about this on the first pass. Thank God we are re-recording the whole back half of this fucking... We talked for a half hour unrecorded into microphones. That's like makes us like kids at a sleepover party.
It's sad. It's so...
oh, it's... I feel awful that I did it to both myself and you. I one time had to have two guests come back in and record a whole episode because I didn't turn on one of the guests' microphones.
No.
Yep. It was just the three of us talking.
Who?
Two of our mics were on. Me and Nick Weiger's mics were on, and Aaron Mallory Long's mic was off. But we brought them back. We brought them all back. And
you did the exact same thing. It just feels. It feels like we're just two people, friends, talking about craps, excited. But then because that wasn't on, it puts into focus that we're actually like.
Being a little bit performative.
A little, yeah. And it like,
well, I realized
that
when I like ran through it again and I'm like, I know exactly what we talked about. Let's just fake it. Like, it makes me a sociopath where I'm like, we could fake friendly banter.
You like turn to me and you're like, we don't need to keep saying that we've said these things before. Let's just get through it.
And now we've said it like 20 times. Okay, now we're recording a third time. We should make it meta and just keep starting in the middle and edit it all fucked up. It's like
I would
Memento.
Do that if it wasn't 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even eaten dinner yet.
Why don't you get a tuna sandwich?
No, I know. I got to go grab one. Hey, you're making tuna too.
I am.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make it very well, though. Anyway.
That's easy. You fucking idiot. So he bets conservatively, and then you do something with the pass line with this dude.
Yes.
This
now you sound like a talk show host.
I know.
Like
I've been
we
brief.
Did a free interview.
Yeah. I just spoke to our segment producer.
So this guy... Well, I hate saying this again.
Just say it again.
Okay.
While you do that, I'm going to text about dinner.
Okay, perfect. So
this is a good podcast. I'm a professional.
His betting strategy, for all you guys interested, he will...
What if I just made a phone call instead and I talked loudly to like someone else in like Mandarin? What if I was speaking like super loud, fluent Mandarin while you were trying to get your gambling?
You look
strategy?
Over at me and you just do one of these. You keep
going. I can't believe I just did a fake Asian accent on them. I'm so sorry.
This is
I'm
never
problematic.
Be seen or heard by anyone. sorry, this is.
You got this.
Okay, I got this.
So you put like $10
up. this is really like the scene from Wayne's World where they go into the radio station. Anyway, you put $10 on the...
Harry Shearer, so I can just say anything like you're a huge piece of dog shit. All right, Weenstock. Weenstock. Wayne's World 2, one of the few comedies where the sequel holds up.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I liked Anchorman 2 a lot, too.
I never saw it.
Oh, it's good. Get closer to the microphone.
Yeah, sorry. You don't want to risk anything.
I'm asleep. So you got $10 on the pass line.
Okay, $10 on the pass line. And then you...
A 7 or 11 hits. I'll just walk you through this.
So 7 or 11 hits, which is good when there's not a button. I can't even look at you. When there's not a button placed, it's good to hit a 7 or 11, as Gabrus shared that earlier. So 7 or 11 hits, and they give you $10 for the pass line. You take that $10 and put it right on your initial bet.
Let it ride, press it up, whatever you
want
to call it. Yeah.
Because
so now your
this,
pass
the
line
overall,
is...
This overall strategy is... You're only betting $10 of your money from your own pocket. You only put $10 out there.
Right. So if they hit the 7 or 11 a couple of times.
You just keep stacking it until it gets to $80 because the way it will go. So you do it once. You have $20 there. Then 7 or 11 hits again. You take that $20 you just won, put it on top of there. That's $40. And then it hits again. You take that $40 win, put it on top. So now you have $80 on top of only the $10 that you put out there.
And then so if 7-Eleven comes again, you get another $80. You are only now you put $80 in your pocket and you're
exactly.
Playing.
And then you start back at $10 and.
Or if the button hits at, if they get a button at 40, now you have 30 free dollars on top of your 10 that's acting as like odds in a way.
Yes. So it's a strategy that sounds insane because it requires 7 or 11 to hit three times. How many times is it?
Yeah, three will get you to 80.
Three will get you to 80. So a fourth time will get you winning that immediately.
Yeah.
But it's not crazy when you think about the fact that
I've seen it.
Yes.
You've seen it. Totally. $10, and then then you win, then they hit a point, it gets all built up, and you lose usually is what
totally,
right
exactly.
There. Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, you have $80 in your pocket. It kind of is like insurance for what you're about to do, and you've only put $10 out there.
I love it.
Only $10 out there.
Only $10 out there.
I love that strategy, and Flynn hates it because she's like, it's almost like an old school versus new school, because she's like, if you win $10, you want to take that 10 immediately, and it's just not.
I'm all about pressing my bets. If I win like a come bet that I have some odds on, and I get $50 to $60 down, I'll spread around 30 of that around the board and put 30 on my rack. That's like my ideal gambling strategy is like every win, I press it up half of whatever my win was and put half of that in my stash. But I always just end up losing all my money.
do you play the special bets? I'm trying to remember.
Like the fire bets or
the
like
fire bets.
I'll throw a dollar on those, or like the all tall, the all small, or all.
Oh yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'll throw a dollar on each one of those, whatever it is, because it's just like,
I love
fuck it. If I'm here, it's just one more thing to root for.
I love those bets.
There's something about craps where I like to be like, ooh, I'm planting a bunch of little seeds. Like,
yes.
Oh, we got some money on the hard 10 over here. We got some money over here. Like, I like
and
to
then
have,
just like a career,
yeah,
they all die.
They all die, and you're going, shit, I should go to business school.
I feel the exact same way about the. Do you do yo?
I'll do the yo on the come out if I'm winning. Yeah. If I'm up a little bit, I'll throw $5 yos around. Yeah. You know?
I got to say, Flynn plays the yo, and when she tosses and says $5 yo, and it's
I'm getting a little chub.
I've got to say, it is truly, it's a very cool thing to hear my wife, you know, because she's a woman.
It's so great to hear my wife talk because she's a woman, and at home she doesn't talk.
I mean, it makes things more complicated. And so that's something that she
always
plays.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your wife's amazing, and now I didn't know she played craps too. Now I'm like, truly. Now I'm gonna make her become friends with Tiff, because then we could go to Vegas trips together.
So she doesn't play at all.
No, she likes to roll when I'm playing.
Got it.
And people let her roll because, like,
you know, Lady Luck.
Lady Luck. Or
I love when they do that, and then Lady Luck, and then it
craps out.
Craps
people
out
immediately. Like, fuck you, you cunt. It's like, whoa, that's my wife. And I'm like, she rolled a fucking, she shouldn't have fucking, why'd she move the dice like that? You know, you blame your. bringing it back to Justin Tyler, I taught him craps when we went to the Bahamas with our wives, and he fucking loved it.
Yeah.
He's like, I need to play again.
Well, it's really the first, I mean, this is for anything, but especially with craps, the first experience is so, it dictates the rest of your feelings towards it, because if you win money that first time, it is the best game ever. But if you lose, I mean, it's just, you never want to fucking get near the craps table.
I the first time me and my brothers went to a casino was in Aruba or the Bahamas, and we played Wheel of Fortune slot machine and won $1,000 cash on it. And me and my brother, that was the first time my brother had ever been to a casino. It skewed him for life. Like, he's
totally
chasing fucking that victory forever.
Ever.
Yeah.
That's kind of why when Flynn first started playing, she won $700. It was like incredible. And then she's pretty much lost ever since.
Yeah.
But we're chasing that whole.
Yeah. Like, I mean, a dream is to, like, for a party, get 10 people together that all play craps and book an entire table. Like, be like,
oh, that'd be great.
Just be like, call down and be like, look, I have 10 guys, 10 people. We want to play $10 minimum. We want like 4 hours just us.
It'd
like,
be awesome.
Yeah. Well, trust us. We'll be throwing money around. We'll be tipping well. Like, it'd be so awesome. Just get like 10 people who are like, we're ready to lose some fucking money.
And then every... Yeah, and then everyone loses money instantly, and then they walk away from the table.
Yeah, they walk away from the table, and I'm like, guys, we have this for another 5 hours. It cost me 25 grand. All right, bye, guys. I'll win.
Can I share a an interesting crap story?
Yeah, no.
Flynn and I were in Vegas, and wait, why did this pop in my head? Because of craps, but because of something you just said. Renting a table or something. But anyway, we went to the airport. My flight was canceled. I was a last flight out, was canceled. So I got a new flight at 7 a.m. Flynn had left. We were long distance at that time. So from like 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., the contemplation, you know, do I
leave this airport?
Do I leave this airport? Do I go to a casino? Do I get a hotel? So I decided
that's not one of the options to me.
I decided on the saddest option, which was basically just wander the strip, walking in and out of hotels and playing, gambling and all that stuff by myself. So I go into the Mirage at 3 a.m. And it's pretty much empty. And I go to a craps table and I'm rolling. It's a $10 table and I'm rolling. Literally, it's an empty table. But me.
That's always sad, too.
It is very sad. Because there's no deflection. It's just like when you lose and you want to not roll the dice,
yeah,
you got to roll them again.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, I can't. I don't think I have it right now. Like, if you're not hot, you can maybe make money off someone else's.
Exactly.
But if you're not feeling hot and they're like, back to
you. It's the closest thing to, like training in sports. It's like when if you play tennis or something, you just got to keep hitting those forehands. So I was just keep getting those dice and keep rolling.
I'm like, here we go.
So a guy comes up to my table, joins me, and we start playing. We're not saying anything to each other. I look up. It's Ray Romano.
What?
So Ray Romano and I are playing craps.
You're very Ray Romano-esque, by the way.
Oh.
Have you been told that before?
No.
Maybe because of like your head shape, nose size, and voice. That was very sweet of me.
Those three things. So he and I are playing craps at the Mirage, 3 a.m. by ourselves. We go, it's like I'm there.
Hard eight.
We go back and forth, never say a word to each other other than like good roll.
Are you working as a comedy writer at this point? No.
I was.
Oh, you?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. At College Humor, though, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah.
So, I mean, if you were writing for Fallon at the time, it would have been a thing to say to Ray Romano.
I was going
to
say Funny or Die.
Oh, yeah, Funny or Die, now that's what we're talking about.
You know, so college
different
humor, funny
than
die
College
feud.
Humor.
No, I was not at Fallon. So, so we played for like 25 minutes together, and then he won some money and walked off, and that was it.
Oh, yeah. So did you say so now you're going to tell the interesting crap story? Oh, cool. So that is like a boring crap story for...
I guess that was it. There's no real end to that other than the fact that at 3 a.m, Ray Romano wanders up to a fucking crabs table.
That's
and
pretty
plays
awesome.
With me.
There you go. That's how you tell the exciting story. Hey, fucko. Oh, you got to go to Vegas with me, too, because you got to see how I act. I am a fucking monster.
I think I can imagine, but are you...
I was like, I went like on a friend's bachelor party and I only knew like one dude at the bachelor party. By the end of it, everyone was like, this guy's fucking crazy. I just talked to people in the most like insane...
Are you aggressive at the craps table?
Like in the way I talk to like the stick man and stuff, not like negatively aggressive, but I'm like...
You got a confidence.
I've got a confidence, and if people start talking shit, I'm going to... take the piss out of anyone who speaks at any
and then are you drunk playing?
Often, yeah.
Got
lately
it.
I've been smoking weed in Vegas and rolling.
Can they
dice.
Do that? Can you do that?
With a vape pen and some edibles you can get super high.
Got it.
I got a little Pax Era that I use, which is like a little toot toot. This little guy here. It's so easy. Now I'm stoned. Oh fuck, we're not recording. Power goes out when I take one in from the vape. I shouldn't be standing in this puddle with this USB port plugged into the fucking Zoom recorder. Weird science. R.I.P. Bill Paxton.
Oh,
he's in Weird Science.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
Too soon.
Sorry. This episode airs in late May. Airs.
Airs, yes.
This episode will be on Sirius XM Raw Dog Comedy in no time.
Oh, man. This is people are going to love this.
I think
we're giving
so.
Them free
crafts advice.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, hard to come by.
Well, we should wrap it up soon because even without the the 40 minutes missing, we're still at like over an hour.
Are we really?
We're doing great, yeah.
Oh. We're doing great.
We're doing great. Folks, if you're just tuning in, everything is A-OK here on the fucking the High and Mighty Titanic.
Was High and Mighty because you like used to smoke and then do a podcast, or is that just because, you know,
no,
your,
it was like just
shtick.
I like the premise, like it's the double entendre, the whatever dual meaning of being high and mighty, like stoned and strong, or taking a hard stance and being cool, being a dick about it. Two things that I, you know, carry myself around with.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Oh, man. I just start crying. Oh, fuck.
You short the mic out.
No! David, where can people find you online? What's your Twitter handle so people can, if they have crap strategies of their own? Usually we try to get like some sort of prompt to get people to hit us up. So like,
yeah,
if people have crap strategies of their own or great beat stories or
stories as good as my Ray Romano.
Yeah, if you, who's the biggest 90s celebrity you saw at a fucking crap table?
I actually just saw him hiking.
What?
Yes.
You should have been like, bro, we were at a crap's table together.
I was considering it. I would never do that. But I really, for a moment, considered, and then I realized I probably that could have been a dark time in his life.
Yeah, and also you will sound like a psycho.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your Twitter handle?
At Gabutch.
Right. I forgot about that.
G-A-B-U-T-C-H. When we G-chat, does it come out as David Young or Gabutch?
I have Adium, so I have like you written in as David Young, I think.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Adium, yeah.
Adium. I don't think Adium is going to work with IM anymore, so I guess I'll be switching to full-blown G-chat after this.
I wish cool story,
guys. Thanks for listening troubling times.
Wait, Adium reminds me of like the MP3 skin era.
Yeah,
like
Winamp. I've had Adium for a long time.
God, okay. And it's hey, listen, dude.
Hey, come on, man. I need Adium, man. I'm 35, man. How else am I supposed to instant message my wife while she's at work? I got to get my G-chat going. I'm getting some joints ready to go.
So this is only listened to by how many people?
It's like 400 to 500. 400 to 500 people. And they play this outside of like cult compounds. The FBI blasts, the ATF blasts this as like punishment outside
like
the branch
North
committee.
Korea. Yeah. In North Korea, they play this.
Oh, I'm not going to do an Asian act. I think I took too hard of a rip on that vape right at the end there. Now I'm super giddy. So you're at Gabutch.
At Gabutch.
I'm at John Gabrus, no H's in John or Gabrus. Hit us with some cool crab stories. Tell us your crab strategies. Tell me the most amount of money you won. I need roll hard tens for me, please. Send me good vibes.
And I say do that the pass line bet.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. Yeah. Expect a text where I'm just furious, broken, drunk.
I cannot wait.
David, anything else you want to plug? Anything else? Should we tell people to tune into a certain show when it comes out?
No.
No.
Not yet. Okay. Let's wait.
Good answer.
Yes. No confidence. No confidence.
Don't listen to anything we work on. Don't even shut this podcast off.
Yeah.
As always, I'm at John Gabrus. Rate me 5 stars. Roast me in the comments. Buy yourself a High and Mighty t-shirt. And bye, shitheads. High and Mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.